question. And many of you will have, Amelia, that's right. Here I was asking her if she's ready to go and everything, and here I forget her. Come on up, Amelia. Who's going to record her? We need somebody recording her. All right. Let's get your dad ready to go here. Countdown 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Praise the Lord. The first verse I will be using is found in Isaiah 62:2. And it says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." You see, when we get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, God gives us a new name. We don't have to have that old name, those sins, and most importantly, we don't have to go through life alone, through trials alone. For he is right there helping you get up when you fall. One thing that I've learned is that you are never alone. The devil uses loneliness so much. So I looked up what loneliness means, and it means sadness because one has no friends. He makes you think you are all alone, you have nobody, but in reality, it's not loneliness. It's God calling you to come closer. Just like Sister Nichols said, God's calling you to that secret place, to the place where you can grow, to that place where you can have a strong relationship. God's just saying, come closer to me, come away from the crowd and come with me. You see, loneliness is just God saying, please, just come closer to me, away from the crowd, come away from the world, just trust me. Recently, God has been working with me about trusting him. You see, you can never go wrong with trusting God. Trusting God is like eating and drinking water. You need to eat and drink to stay alive. Well, you need to trust God to keep your relationship alive. Because how can you go to that secret place with him if you don't trust him? In Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be happy with what you have. God has said, I will never leave you or let you be alone. So I urge you tonight, when you're feeling alone, you're not really alone. God is just saying, come with me to that secret place.
Lord. Praise God. Well, I'm thankful that the Lord does call us and bring us into his presence. And there's a special time that we enjoy in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We're going to be hearing angels singing tonight. All of our kiddies, go head downstairs with Sister Becca. Go ahead and go to the back there with Sister Becca. They're going to practice their singing for Sunday. So they get too loud, we'll stomp on the floor. All right, here's the question. The question, what is your favorite verse that has to deal with gifts? Gifts. I shared with you the gift of God and how the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In contrast to that, the wages of sin is death. And that's a huge contrast between gift and wages and death and eternal life. Well, I want the gift of God. Amen. The gift of God appears 8 times, and that phrase, the gift of God, 8 times in Scripture. And then obviously many more verses that have to deal with gifts. So what's your favorite? All right, Brother Merle. All right, say the verse. Acts 2:38. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, praise God. Brother Merle got that gift a long time ago. Amen. Thank God it stays fresh. Sister Glover.
Down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning.
All right. Good gifts, perfect gifts. Wow. Come down from the Father of lights. Amen. Someone else. If yours gets chosen, that's okay. You can say it again. We like to hear about gifts. Any others? People are looking. People are checking their concordance. All right, Brother Perkins. A gift, the rest that he gives. You know, that verse is almost disjointed, it seems like, from what chapter 11 is about. It's like it's just tagged on there. I'm glad the Lord tagged that on there. There are all kinds of turmoil and situations that come against us. But we come to the Lord. Thank the Lord for that rest. Learning of him. He's meek and lowly. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Anything else before we move on here? Sister Esther, you raising your hand? Good. All right. And grace is an amazing gift. Thank the Lord. The scripture says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord he brought that into our midst. No wonder it's an exciting thing to celebrate his birth. Amen. As I said, there are those who are going to argue about the day and the pagan relationships and all of that kind of stuff. And I suppose there are situations there that could be pointed out, but got to celebrate sometime. Got to exalt him sometime and commemorate it sometime. And as the rest of the world, at least our society, is focused on the Christmas celebration, we can point them to Jesus Christ and know that he is the reason that we celebrate. And we thank God for it. Amen. Those wise men came. You know, the disparity of the socioeconomic levels that they represented and that Joseph and Mary lived at were quite different. And the shepherds that came, these men were affluent. They ruled kingdoms. And their entourage, no doubt, was pretty extensive. But they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts. And we might question, how practical is that? Gold, frankincense, myrrh, what's going to happen? But it represented wealth that Mary and Joseph did not have. And when they were warned by God to flee into Egypt because of the evil intent of Herod, who was a fake, when he said, let me know when you find him, I'll come and worship him. Yeah, right. That wasn't his intent. But the Spirit of God warned them. And it's very possible those gifts presented by the wise men were what financed their trip to Egypt and back. So God had it all put together. God had it all working just right. And thank God there are more gifts that are given. And this is the giving keeps on going. It's not guilt. You've heard of guilt being the gift that keeps on giving. The Lord doesn't give you guilt. He gives you joy. He gives you peace. Amen. And the gifts just continue to come, and we thank the Lord for that. Romans 12 is where I want to work with tonight for just a short while. Romans 12 and 6. Just a note here as you're turning there. Verses 4 and 5 deal with the members of one body and the emphasis on that oneness, that unity. I've heard you don't have to have agreement, but you can have unity. And that's the nature of humanity, you know. You're not going to agree on everything, but you can be united nonetheless. And thank God that that works in our favor. And so verses 4 and 5 emphasize the fact that there's one body, and we are members of that one body. Not working against each other, but working together. And the human body being a miracle. It's still just an amazing thing to consider in birth, in development in the womb. Two cells becoming billions, trillions of cells. And at what point does the development become bone and muscle and nerve and so on? How do those cells know to form in that way? I'm saying it very poorly. You know, a medical mind would be able to present it a whole lot more confusing, I'm sure. But you understand what I'm saying, how incredible birth is. And yet, there are so many in our society that want to just end it, just like that. I'm so glad that that thinking wasn't around to influence Mary and tell her this is what you need to do in your, you know, embarrassing situation. No, she knew the mind of God. She'd heard the message. She put herself in the place of, you know, let be it unto me according to your word, Lord. And thank God for willing vessels. And so, members of one body, and verse 6 is where I want to go. I've been on the screen for a while here. Having then gifts, everybody say gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Okay, so we're going to spend a little bit of time going down the list here that Romans 12 talks about. And remember that Romans 12 starts out by saying, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present. Let it be a present. Let it be given to the Lord. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And that's reasonable service. Don't be conformed, be transformed. Praise God. And then these gifts from the Lord begin to operate in the body. God gives those gifts. And we use those gifts not to glorify ourselves. No, no, no. Again, Romans, or Psalm rather, 115. Unto your name, Lord, not unto us. Not unto us, but unto your name give glory. Amen. And that's got to be our purpose and our focus. And so we use the gifts that are differing, all different kinds. I'm not going to cover the whole gamut in one individual. One individual may manifest more than one, but not all, because they're different members. And so the Lord brings about that unity for his glory. So prophecy is mentioned here, a word ministry. Someone turn to Revelation 19 and 10 and read it good and loud for me. Revelation 19 and 10. The word ministry is preaching, but it's also a foretelling as well as forthtelling. So we recognize that. Okay, who's got Revelation 19:10? Brother Steve? All right, so prophecy is going to testify about the Lord. Just like when Jesus said, you shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is the purpose? The purpose is to witness of him. The expanding scope geographically was what he included, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts. And thank God that's what's happened since the beginning in the upper room in Jerusalem, and it's got to continue because that's what the Lord desires for his people to do. That's why we're still here. Otherwise, you get baptized, you receive the Holy Ghost, boom, you should be taken out of here so we don't make a mistake, so we don't foul up. No, he leaves us here to be examples of his power and to have the outreach. And then eventually, praise God, he's going to come and take us home with him. So prophecy, according to faith in God, not man. Sometimes a personality, a name, gets attached to the prophecy and someone who is greatly used by the Lord. And that recognition, I suppose, is okay as long as we put our trust and our faith in the Lord, not in that individual. Amen. We honor the individual. We respect the individual. But we know it comes from God. Amen. And the Lord could use anybody. And so we make ourselves available. All right? So ministry. Ministry is the next aspect or gift that the Lord gave, and that is in serving. Remember Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4 and 11 talks about the fivefold ministry. And then verse 12 says, for the equipping and the working of ministry. And that aspect there, when we say ministry, we often are thinking of the pulpit. We're thinking of teaching, preaching, speaking, seminars, whatever. And but it goes way beyond that, because ministry is serving. And you're serving. Those of you who worked on the wood pile yesterday, that was ministry. You were serving. The cooks who do such a great job on getting fellowship ready for Thursday nights, that's ministry. Amen. Now, the ministry, of course, in the Word, like prophecy, is most valuable because that reaches the eternal realm. And obviously, cover your pastor with prayer. Cover your evangelist with prayer. Trust that God's going to do a work. Amen. That's why we prayed for the Perkins, as we knew they were ministering in Kenai, because we wanted God to do a work. And thank the Lord, he did. He confirms his word with signs following. Amen. And thank the Lord, there can be task-oriented ministry or serving, and we do that because that's a gift. Teaching is a little bit different than ministry because it's more focused. And Jesus emphasized that, didn't he? Matthew 28, 19, and 20, twice he mentions teaching. Go ye into all the world and teach, baptizing them in the name. And that definitely needs to be taught because much of our world and Christianity is missing what Jesus said there. The name is what is important. And then teach them to observe all things. And lo, I am with you always. Praise God. One of the most powerful I ams that he spoke. And thank the Lord. The emphasis is on teaching. So we thank the Lord for those who prepare every Sunday morning for the little ones that will come in their classroom. And the controlled chaos, sometimes that might be there. You're getting the word in them, praise God, and helping them to settle in and work with the craft, work with the memory verse, and so on. Praise God. And the work with youth. We appreciate the Pelleteers being so diligent in working with our youth week after week after week. And an exciting event is coming up the end of this month with the Holiday Youth Convention. And a couple hundred youth will be gathered together there in Anchorage. And again, teaching. And I appreciate our youth committee and our youth president focusing on that realm, as well as the excitement of a powerful worship service. Amen. And the directed Bible study. Now, some of you that teach Bible studies, you're trying to key in on what they may be interested in or may be asking about and so on. And that's good. But there needs to be a study that is going from Genesis all the way to Revelation, a study that is panoramic, a study that is going to cover all the bases and show the line of truth of Jesus Christ all the way through. And then, of course, you're going to hit on all the other aspects. If the Lord desires you to teach, and he emphasized teaching, don't you know he's going to help you to be able to expand from whatever is on the page of the Bible study to whatever they need to hear? It'll work that way. Amen. You know, there are those who will want to open the Bible and close their eyes and point. A man did that one time, trying to find inspiration. He closed his eyes, he opened the Bible, and he pointed. Judas went and hanged himself. Well, that wasn't the inspiration he was looking for. Closed the Bible, closed his eyes, opened it up again, and pointed. Go thou and do likewise. This is not working. Close his Bible one more time. And opened it up, opened his eyes. What thou doest, do quickly. Use exploring God's word. Don't just open your Bible and point. Make sure, because teaching is so important. It really is important. Teach by example. Oh, man, that's a big one. You're always going to be an example. Remember that. And ask the Lord to help you to be a good example. Amen. And thank the Lord we're able to experience the blessings of the Lord as we teach by example. I heard Sister French tell about their work in Sitka and then in Hunan, branching out to the other villages in Southeast. And then Brother French went to Anchorage to look at opening a work there. And Brother and Sister Crumpacker were there. They were, he was a barber. And so they started having service in their home. And Brother French walked through the streets of Anchorage. This is a long time ago now, probably early 50s. Walked through the streets of Anchorage trying to find a storefront, a building, something to have service in where they could invite a lot of people and not just be in an apartment or house or wherever they were. And as he walked through the streets and didn't find anything, nothing suitable, prices too high, and so on, he became discouraged. And as he's plodding along, he stopped and looked in a storefront, and there was a man in there looking real dejected, real discouraged. And he realized that was his reflection. It was he was looking at himself, and he understood then, I've got to perk up here. I'm serving the Lord, and so on. And so he put a smile on his face, put positive attitude in his heart, and continued on, and thanked the Lord. They were successful in planting many churches. Thank God. And we appreciate their example and how that they continued on with the word of the Lord. Exhortation is the next gift. Exhorting is not a poking somebody in the chest or waving your finger in their face. It's encouragement. It's edifying. It's building up. And, you know, the old saying of you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. That's not said that way in Scripture, but pretty close. So exhorting is encouraging. It's edifying. And thank the Lord we can encourage one another and lift up one another, pray for one another. Remember, we're members of one body. You're not going to hurt, damage one of the members. Giving. Giving is oftentimes, when you hear the word giving, financial is automatically comes to mind. And thank God we can give financially. Thank the Lord we can have that gift of giving. And that says, do it with simplicity. That means liberally. It means generously. And so it's going to continue on doing the work of the Lord. But giving time for prayer. God bless those who are able to come for prayer on Tuesday night. And if you can't make it, be sure you make time to pray at home. Amen. Join together with us in prayer. Making time to help, like the people who worked on the woodpile. Making time for outreach. Making time for Bible study. It's not going to happen on its own. You have to make time. And thank God that giving of your time is important. Giving of your talent. The technology here that we have with music and with computers and the sound system. Thank the Lord that there are those who have that gift and that ability and are able to give of that time. The meals that we've had every Thursday night and then the potluck coming up, that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And they're putting it all together and then cleaning up afterwards. Thank God for giving of your time and your talent. The planning, the decorations, all of that stuff is just a part of giving. Your talent, your work, the maintenance. Make sure everything's functioning. Make sure everything's in good repair. Those are gifts that the Lord uses for his glory. And we thank God treasure is a part of that. The wise men opened up their treasure and presented their gifts. Thank God we can do the same thing. Go above and beyond in our giving to the Lord. Give till it hurts. You've heard that phrase? Well, let's change it. Give till it feels good. And that'll work a whole lot better. Because God loves cheerful giver. Amen. And I'm thankful that the Lord provides in that way and ministers because we're willing to give. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. If your Bible is red letter, those are a few of the red letters you're going to find in the book of Acts. Not very many, but that's some of them. More blessed to give than to receive. And thank God for the giving. The giving, amen. And as we said, Christmas for Christ provides means for missionaries to go. North America needs revival. Oh, man, does North America need revival? Going the wrong way. The Lord help us to plant those churches and be able to have the influence, godly influence, righteous influence in our communities, to be that light shining and to help others receive the Holy Ghost in their time of sorrow and grief and reaching out to the Lord and others that need to be rescued and brought to the blessing of God that he would provide. Amen. The scripture uses the word ruling in the next gift, ruling. Leading others to the Lord is the leadership that God wants to use everybody in. Not just a few. Not just a certain ones who are maybe gifted in teaching. No, everyone doing a work for the Lord. And thank God that enabling and equipping and reaching out to bring others into the realm of understanding of the Lord and the experience of the Lord, praise God. That leadership is so important, and everyone needs to be a leader. We thank God that God always uses leadership. Moses and Joseph and all the other ones in the Old Testament, then into the New Testament, we know there was leaders, but every one of you is a leader. A leader in your home, a leader in your job, a leader in bringing others to the Lord. That's so important. Amen. And then, mercy. Showing or giving mercy. You know, the Good Samaritan could have reasoned in his mind, like the priest and the Levite, could have thought, The robbers may still be here. I need to hurry on. I don't have time to render emergency assistance. I don't want to get my hands dirty. You know, any of those kinds of things. But thank God there are those who will reach out to the hurting and the wounded and do a work of rescuing. They don't have to. They could, you know, be centered on self and going on down the road. But thank God for the story of the Good Samaritan. He gave of his time. He gave of his talent. I don't know if he knew medical procedures or not, but he knew enough to bind up the wounds and pour oil on them and so on. And he gave of his treasure. He told the innkeeper, here, you take care of him, and when I come back, if I owe any more, I'll take care of it. And the Lord pointed out a Samaritan, and when he asked the man who inquired, who's my neighbor, it's interesting that he didn't say the Samaritan, as it was hard for him to acknowledge a Samaritan doing good, especially in the lack of the Levite and the priest, which is a very strong indictment against what they were doing in their selfishness. And so he answered, the one who showed mercy. And that's the point, the part where the man pointed at the scripture, and it says, go and do thou likewise. So, there's that list of gifts, and we operate them by the Lord. And that's why it's so important to stay close to Him, to stay full of the Spirit, to stay anchored in the Word, to be familiar with His presence, with His voice, that still small voice. Sometimes we want it to be sensational. We want it to be just fantastic, the handwriting on the wall and all of those kinds of things. God uses a still small voice a whole lot more than He uses a big sensational demonstration. Stay in tune with it. Get used to it. Be sensitive to it. Amen. Because that mercy being extended is so important, so necessary. 1 Corinthians 13 is quite a list, isn't it? Speak with tongues of men and angels, and have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, have all faith, could remove mountains. Wow, that's a lot of power. But without love, the measurement is nothing. Nothing. Twice it says that. Nothing. And so, it's so important to be able to follow through on what the Lord desires. Amen. And Hebrews 11:4, the Lord testified of Abel's gifts. How would you like the Lord to testify about your gifts? Amen. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. There's a definitely awareness of how God's power is there and so good. The sacrifice and the giving of gifts that live on, that's so important. The Lord's going to present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. And the opportunity for us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and you'll give it as a present to the Lord, is very important. And I thank God that we have that opportunity to give that reasonable service to Him, because He is going to present to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. No blemish, but it's holy. So important to be part of that present. So important to be ready to give ourselves so that He can gather up His church at the sounding of the trumpet. Praise God. Amen. Sister Glover and I are talking about Brother Denny passing on. And I reflected on how, as a young man, he worked with youth in the Oregon City Church. And Sister Glover said he was praying with her when she repented. as a young girl, and how he graduated from Bible school and eventually became the pastor of Oregon City. Went to the Philippines as a missionary, came back, was a superintendent of the Washington District, went to Global Missions as the regional director of the South Pacific. Capacity after capacity that he served God in, and touching many, many lives and doing a work for the Lord, but now entered into that realm. Praise God. Talk about come to me and rest. Oh, wow. That is going to be the eternal aspect of rest and refreshing that the Lord gives that we'll be able to receive forever. And he's there now. Thank the Lord. And that place awaits all of us. That's our goal. That's where we're headed. Amen. And all of the blessings and benefits that we may get here and now in terms of our healing and our finances and so on, we know that's short term, so to speak. It's going to change because our lives change. Our bodies, become aches and pains as we grow older to remind us that this isn't our home. This is not where we're going to stay. We're going to a better place. Praise God. And that's what we want to hold on to. That's what we want to believe. That's what we want to trust. Praise God. And is God done giving gifts? Oh, no. Praise God. He operates the gifts of the Spirit in his church. Again, the body. The body being the reference there in 1 Corinthians 12. And then the operation in 1 Corinthians 14. And thank God that God is not the author of confusion. There may be some who would say, no, that's confusion, or you don't have to be so loud, and all of this stuff of wanting to straighten us out in our talking in tongues, and should only be two or three. And well, they need to understand there's a difference between the gift of the Spirit and the gift of tongues. Amen. The gift of the Spirit is going to be accompanied by tongues. The gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues is what's going to operate in the church. But you've got to get in the church first. Amen. And thank God, the new birth is how we are able to enter in, and that is a tremendous gift. Thank the Lord that he made that possible for us, that we could step into that realm of knowing his goodness, his power, his glory, his blessing. Amen. If I were to pass out paper right now and give you a pen or a pencil, whatever you preferred, and ask you, make a list, all the gifts that God has given you in the time that you started walking with God, from the very beginning, forgiveness by his blood, amen, and all the way through to where we are now, I think I'd have to continually pass out paper. I think the list would just get longer and longer. Amen. And the power of the Lord would be so great as we reflect on all the gifts. Oh, my. I'm thankful that the Lord is faithful to give according to his word. We wouldn't be able to manifest anything without the power and the glory of God. But he comes in with his power. He comes in by his Spirit. He comes in with his goodness. And thank the Lord we're able to receive that blessing from him. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the gifts of the Lord? Amen. And we need to read the word of the Lord and pray, God, use me in your gifts. Whatever different gift you want to assign to me or bless me, let me be used of you. I want to be used in your kingdom. I want to be used in your power. Praise God. Amen. Humility is good until it gets in the way of the will of God. And we start feeling like I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. We know that. But don't let the devil lie to you that you're not worthy to operate one of these gifts. You're not worthy. You're not able. You know, our sufficiency is of God. Paul was an apostle for 20 years when he wrote that. We are not sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. If you don't feel sufficient, you're in good company. The Apostle Paul felt that way and pointed out our sufficiency is of God. Amen. And so that's, again, that dependence. Lord, I need you. I need your power. I need your touch. I need your strength. And thank God, he moves us into the realm we can be used of him with the gifts that he presents. Amen. And thank God, we're able to give back. We're able to make a return. His investment in us pays off. And we're able to see how the Lord blesses and how the Lord provides and how the Lord ministers. Praise God. And of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Amen. The same way that we emphasize wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, emphasize that the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And God wants to use you for that increase. Amen. And thank the Lord. We can make ourselves available, step into the realm of Lord, you're still giving, and I want to be receiving. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Let's go ahead and come to the front here and have our time of prayer. Then we'll enjoy our fellowship, but I think it would be good for us just again to let the Lord know, Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I desire to be in your presence. I desire to be used of you. I want your gifts to operate within me, not for my glory, for his glory. Praise God. To be lifted up in his power. Let's just worship the Lord here for a few minutes now. Thank you, Lord God.